Ron. Morty, would you like to make the announcement from home?
17A1.
Okay.
You're dying of it all.
Thank you.
Top line.
Very good.
17A1. Okay.
Morty unfortunately has a little bit of a stomach virus, and he's not able to be here in person. But we are so happy and glad that he's able to make the announcement from home. Baruch Hashem.
And I did fast.
And he did fast.
Wow.
Actually, fasting is probably good for a stomach virus. Rabbi Yochanan Shaul Gamliel Zuga. So Rabbi Yochanan asked him, Gamliel Zuga. Zuga may have been because he's a barber. Who knows why? Maybe he made shidduchim. Who knows the reason why he's called Zuga? Nihiganatan Mapkin Chalam and Demaya. Do you customarily, what's your hanhaga? How do you do it? Do you take a challah from Demai? Amalei, looking at Shmuel, didn't Shmuel say the following? That at the time they made the gezerah on Demai to begin with, most people separated challah in their homes. So now we have two ways of learning this statement. One is the English at the top. That says that the implication is that it's only the people at home. In other words, if you were invited over as a guest to the Aritz's home, you could rely that he took off challah. But if he would sell it in the shuk, you would not be able to rely on him. You would have to take off challah from Demai. That's one way to learn it. Who's calling? Oh, I have to call him. Okay. Now, the other way is in footnote A, it says over here, at the beginning of A, right. Others explain that in saying most people separated in their homes, Shmuel, the brother of Brekka, was referring specifically to challah. He meant that although Amiarites were not careful to separate Maestris, most were careful to separate challah. Therefore, if you purchase bread from an Amma Arts, you need not separate challah. Just the opposite, okay?
What was the process?
Just like we said yesterday that the whole thing needs a beer because Truma is Taurus and challah is Taurus, so why wouldn't they be makbid on it? So we had a whole bunch of excuses yesterday why maybe they didn't understand the halachas. We had an excuse, but I think the halach over here is saying you can either learn the Gemara saying that when they were geyser it, they were taking it l'toch batehen, that it's only in their houses, but not when they had guests, or when they were selling it. And the other pshat that I think is much more reasonable is that he's basically saying you don't have to take off challah.
Challah is also mitzvah shemayim?
Yeah. Same.
There are many people that keep a kosher home, quote, but eat the fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think the reason is that the women are doing the challah, and the women are firmer than the men.
The women are firmer than the men. That would really be a reason. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbein, Tani Tanai Bezdin Shetehi Chalasi V'Svon Svonu. That there's this provision that it should be designated in the northmost part of the dough. So what does that mean? It says he's not coming to dispute the previous ruling. He's coming to explain it. What's he saying?
Explain it?
That is to say, right, that Rabbi Yosef Rabbon is explaining the answer that Gamliel Zuga gave Rabbi Yochanan, right? And he's saying that this that he said, or he implied that it's forbidden to eat bread that one purchases from an Amma Aretz unless he separates challah. Again, we're going to learn the way he learned at the top. But Yosef explains that an actual separation is unnecessary. You could just merely declare without making an actual separation that's located in the northmost corner of the bread. And that's good enough. Without physically taking it, correct. You eat the whole bread, leave whatever's that left over, and you give that to the Kohen. Okay? Next, the Mishnah says, Oilam b'achinu mea, that it is Truma and challah and everything else is batal in 101, right? So the Gemara says, Ma'ar avidlah, how do you treat this obligation? In other words, we're talking about the obligation that it's ole. Remember we said that even though it's batal, you still have to take out a portion and give that to the kohen because of a minor shel kohen. That's what we explained. Now, how do you treat that? So I'm just going to speak out the footnote without reading it inside because it's a very simple idea. The there's two ways to approach the chiyuv. This is the premise. The premise is that Chazal didn't simply say it's mamono shel kohen. Pay him. Give him, write him a check. Right. It was equal $25. The one part in 101. Write a check then for $25, and you'll be yotze with that. The moment shel kohen. You gave him his moment. No, Chazal were makbid. They were makbid, and they made it a certain structure, and they said you had to be malah. Not only that, they said that whatever your malah from the mixture has a din of truma. That's a mixture in trumas. So because of all this, how do we view it? Do we view it that the Chazal made a takona, that when you have this din of bittel, again, let's go back to what we're talking about. You have a din of bittel, one in 100, of truma, and worming machai of you to be mala it out of the 101 to give it to the kohen. That when we do that, we want you to look at it as if the whole thing is tevel. Just like that's exactly the way it was in the beginning. That's what Mar means by tfiloso. That it's exactly a reenactment. We'll call it a reenactment because that's really what it is. It's not really truma. I mean, it's batel. But we made a takona that you have to be malet, and it's kitchiloso, that it's all, we look at it as if it's tevel.
It's retroactive.
Retroactive?
It goes backwards to the point where... Like,
we go back to look at it as if it's tevel again. Right. Almost like that. That would be one side. The other side is, no, what are you talking about? It's a whole separate din. It's nothing like the beginning. It's a din moment which we enacted with a certain structure. What's an akmina? There's an akmina. I'm going to say an akmina right now. Ma'at ovid law. Kitzkilas hafrasha. Do you make it like the beginning of the hafrasha? Or kisof hafrasha? So the Gemara says, in tamer kitzkilas hafrasha, if it's like the beginning, then you have, number one, ein ha-cotton ma'at law.
What does in the beginning and end mean?
Before the 101 piece fell in.
Is it like tevel or is it not like tevel? Do I look at this mixture as if it's tevel until you're mala, the one out of the 101, or is it a different din?
Even though it's
batal.
Even though it's cholin and one part.
100%, right? Because we don't allow you to eat from it until you're mala. That's the question. Okay. So the Gemara says, in Tamer Kitzkila Safrasha, in a cotton mila, a cotton can't do it, because a cotton can't do the initial,
can't separate truma.
Vein Acher Mala, and no, a third party can't do it, only the person who owns it can do it.
No, he can make a shliach.
He can make a shliach. This obviously not talking about where he's a shliach. And that is, in footnote B, he actually asked that as a kasha. He says, Lachar, what's the problem over here? If he didn't make him a shliach, of course he can't do it. If he did make a mashliach, of course he can. So what does it mean? Ein achar mala. So he says that the pshat is that we're talking about a goy. Achar means a goy. If it's tefillah, the goy is not pateras truma, and therefore he can't do the shlichus. But maybe if it's like sof hafrasha, then maybe a goy could do the hafrasha. Because after all, it's almost like the maisa koif ma'alma. Because all we're trying to do here is get the mum and coin back to the shus coin. And we have it in a framework, but it's not an exact framework of the original hafrasha, but it's a momentous speka hafrasha. So then, that's what we're saying. If it's like tzilas hafrasha, cotton can't do it, and acha can't do it, and also enu decha Shabbos, because you're not allowed to be mafresh truma on Shabbos because of tikkun moneh, right? Everybody knows that, yeah? Mishnah beitza, yeah? the intavin of itself, and if you're going to make it like a new type of hafrasha din, then hakat mila achar mila dacha shabbos. Okay, so that was the question.
If it's a new thing, then isn't that tikkun? Like you're creating something new.
It's not real tikkun because it really wasn't really aser. In other words, Teva was really awesome, but this isn't really awesome. We just want, that's the idea.
Look at number 7.
If we consider the removal and act of extracting an already existing truma from the mixture and may be executed even by a minor or another person named Shabbos, the removal is not considered an act of repairing, although it does permit the mixture for consumption. Since according to this understanding, the chulin part of the mixture is technically permitted and may not be consumed only because truma became mixed into it and was not nullified. Tevel, on the other hand, is an intrinsically prohibited food. I mean, that's basically what I said. Okay, now the Gemara says, Tamon Tanina. Now we're going to try to resolve this question. Right? We have a question. Is it like tefillah or is it like sof? Answer is, Sheit and Mishnah 8, it's a Yerushalmi and Shabbos. It says like this. So Yehuda says, Af malin es hamaduma bachin omeya. You can remove on Shabbos one measure of truma and chulin that contains 101 measures. So, right, if truma fell into 100 chulin and became batel, you could be milet. You could remove one measure from the mix on Shabbos.
Didn't you just say you can't?
I'm telling you this mission from Rabbi Yehuda. Vitani our law, of course I told you you can't. I was quoting you the Mishnah Beitza. Vitani our law, the Braisa was taught, Reb Shimon Elazar Eimer, Imrotza, if you want to eat, Nosein Eino v'miktsasa v'ochal es hashar. He disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. He said, right? He maintains, you may not, number 11, he maintains that you may not physically remove the portion or even verbally designated, because it's called repairing. Rather, you just do it mentally. Okay? So, because the pasuk says, v'nechshav lochem shumaskam, so machshav, it's considered good afrasha.
So, if you do that, you have, the mental has to choose a part?
Yes, you have to choose a specific location. Okay? And so we have a machlokas, right? We have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. These are two man to amrim as far as this is concerned. Now we're on the base. I'm Rabbi Yonah. So Rabbi Yonah said to explain the dispute, Rabbi Yehuda ava la kasaifa frasha. It makes sense. Rabbi Yehuda is making it like the sofar frasha. And therefore, since it's batal, you can do it on Shabbos and you can do it idei achar and you can do it idei katan. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar ava lakat kilas hafrasha, and therefore you can't do it on Shabbos. So now we have an answer to our query, right? Yeah. It's a machlokes tanoim. Very good. Rabbi Yossi disagrees with Rabbi Yonah. We keep having this Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yossi. you know, there's this rivalry. I call it a rivalry. Anyway. So after Rav Shimon Elazar of like his life Afrasha, he said, no, that's not true. Even Rav Shimon Elazar also is going to have to make it like Afrasha at the end. Why? Mi lo moidi Rav Shimon Elazar she'asur lasas kein bevadai. Doesn't he agree? If let's suppose it wasn't
it was a suffix. Real tevel.
Right. If it was not right, tithing real tevel would. Would he not agree that you can't even mentally designate the truma, right? On Shabbos, the mission of Beitza that I mentioned to you that says that you're not allowed to be mafresh truma, that's an issur across the board, flat. You can't do anyway. You can't do it with Aydei Maise, you can't do it with Aydei Machshava because you're masakin. It's real tikkun. So if it's real tikkun Aydei Machshava, then this can't be real. It can't be like Tefillas Hafrasha. Even if Shimon Elazar has to hold this as like Sefer Shvasha. That's what he's arguing, Reb Yossi saying. Yeah? Mike don't. So, now that we know that they both agree that it's like Sefer Shvasha, what's the reason why, right? What now is the reason of Shemitah laws or disputes of Yehuda and forbids the physical removal? Since the removal is sof, why can't you do it on Shabbos? The Gemara is asking a kasha on Rav Shimon, right? Rav Shimon laws. The answer is the Gemara, a very simple answer. This is a common word that you're familiar with. Ever hear of the words Uvda Dechol? This is Uvda Dechol. Uvavachal Yasim Shas Adachshu Aisim Achol. This is called an Uvda Dechol. So therefore, to do it the way you regularly do it, he held you weren't allowed to. Do an Ayidei Machshava, that's okay.
How about doing it Ayidei Shinui?
I don't know about Shinui.
Maybe he's saying that the only Shinui you can do is the mental bit.
Mental is the Shinui that he's recommended. Okay. Tamon Taninon. I mean, I wouldn't allow you to dig a hole in your ground, Ayidei Shinui, Rabbi. I wouldn't let you dig a hole in the ground in your backyard, Ayidei Shinui. Shinui only helps so far, but what you talking?
He's saying that Shinui is good here.
No, he didn't.
Said that Shinui is the mental.
I didn't say it's mutter because it's a Shinui. I said he allows it because mental is not considered Uvda Dechol. That's a big difference. If you do something Ayidei Shinui, but it could still be Uvda Dechol because this looks like it. It's like, you know, having your dishwasher running on Shabbos, and it's not one of those silent ones, and it's making all the loud noises. So I don't care that you put it on a Shabbos clock. It's Uvda Dechol. It's like it's not Shabbosnik. You know, I mean, it's like that one. And then, let me use the example of the Gemara. The Gemara has a thing. If you have a water going through a wheel, and that wheel runs a grinding stone, so we don't allow that on Shabbos. Why? Because that makes a lot of noise, the grinding sound, and it's Uvda Dechol. It's Uvda Dechol. It's an option also. It's not proper.
Is it Uvda Dechol or is it Mashmin Kol?
No, Uvda Dechol. I'm talking about the Mishnah Shabbos. The case in Shabbos, yeah. In other words, Beishamai holds it's the Shvisas Kalim, so your Kalim can't be grinding because it's the Elach of Tochen. But we hold like Vesil that there's no problem with Shisas Kalim. But that case is still Aser because that makes a lot of noise. And that's Av Shemilso. It's Uvda Dechol. Okay, let's go on. Tamon Taninon. Rav Liazar Oimer. Shumo Oilu Be'achinu Meyo. Rav Yishon Rav Meyo Va'od. Okay, there's actually machloikas about, we keep saying one part in 100, but it's actually, there's another sheet of Rav Yishon who holds it's 99 plus. So you add 1 to 99 plus, you end up with 100 plus. Okay? So that's a machlokas. Tamon of Rechizkiya of Yavuhu b'shem Rav Lazar. Elsewhere he said, in the name of Rav Lazar, called Makon Shoshan Rebbe Machlokas Nachachachachachachachachachachachach and Shoshan Stam Malachachachachachachachach. So, let's look at this over here. So, if Rebbe has a machlokas in one mesechta, so over here we have a machlokas in, like we just said, right? Tamon Tanina. We learned in a Mishnah there. Where's the Mishnah there? Number 5, it's a Mishnah Trumas. Okay? So we have a Machlokas in Masechta Trumas. And over here, this Mishnah that we just learned now in Arla, it's said of a Farish, right? Let's go back to the Mishnah. What was it? Yudalit, I think, right? No, we're not Yudalit, sorry. On Ted Zion. So, what does it say? It says the first statement. Hatruma trumas meiser shaldmani chala bikurim oilon be'echad umeya. So our Mishnah says explicitly, like who?
Not like Rabbi Yeshua,
like Rabbi Lezer, not like Rabbi Yeshua, right? Correct. So if you're gonna take the structure of Achlokas, the Achakak Stam Halacha Kistam, what would you deduce? That the Halacha is like whom? I had a machlokas in Masechta Trumas. That would be the machlokas. Then he had a stam mishnah in Arla. It's achakach stam. Surely Arla comes after Trumas, right? So you have a machlokas achakach stam, and we were passing like Rav Elazar. That's why he tied it. Since our mishnah concurs with Rav Elazar's view, stating anonymously that it works with 101, it follows the halacha should accord with Rav Elazar, right? Now, the Gemara rejects this claim. Min madas ninon. Wait a second. the very next Mishnah in our Masechta, okay, in our Masechta, in Orla, the very next Mishnah, it says, it's below Halacha 2, 22a.
Where is it?
22a. It says, saw truma shenofel lameya. If you have a saw of truma that falls into 100 saw of chulin, and afterward, okay, an additional half saw of orla fell into the mixture. Follow the case? 100 chulin, one saw of truma, half saw of orla, okay? So what do we say? The truma combines with the chulin to nullify the arla. So if you need 200 times the arla, and the truma will help the mimus tarif. And the arla helps the mimus tarif with the chulin to mivatal the 100 to 1 of the truma, right? That's called heter v'isser v'tarifim zen zeh, levatal letzah isser, right? That's a famous terminology. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, what did Rabbi Elazar say? Less kam l'tof meya, l'tof tisha matisha. It's not a case where there's a saw of truma fell into 100 saw. Rather, it means that the saw of truma fell into 99, and together with the additional saw, now are 100 saw in the mixture. So, whose sheet is that?
At what point does it
break? That's Rabbi Yeshua's sheet.
Is it 199 now?
No. It's don't say it's 100. Say it is 99 instead of 100.
Okay.
So therefore, we have a total of 1 plus 99 is 100, plus a little bit. So that's the sheet. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua. That's how he explained the next Mishnah.
Uh-huh.
So it turns out that we have a Stam Mishnah, which we're learning is the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua. So they were saying like this.
Wait a minute. So we have a Machlokas. We have one Stam Mishnah that says like Rabbi Elazar. We have a second Stam Mishnah that says like Rabbi Yeshua.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly where we're at. So the Gemara says, just reading the English, it says over here, it thus emerges, see in the second column, that our Mishnah was taught anonymously like Rabbi Elazar, and the next Mishnah was taught anonymously like Rabbi Yeshua. Hence, Kama Desninan Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, it's as if we learned the dispute between Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua here and there. Is thus no Mishnah supporting one over the other, so we can't infer anything from these Mishnayos.
So we're saying that these two Stam Mishnahs are unlawful?
Exactly. What we're saying is that checkmate. Exactly. There's nothing to talk about. The Gra has a little bit, the Gra changes some of your souls around over here. The Gra is not too happy with this, the way the Agamor is structured. And there's a very simple reason for that. The rule of Stam v'achakach machlokas is only said in one masechta. It was never said in two masechtas. If you have a machlokas in trumas and a stam mishnah in orla, you don't apply the whole rule. So he changes around the gear. So take a look and put at the box if this interests you, and you'll see his shot. Adkan, Rabbeisai, thank you for coming and learning with me tonight. I know it was difficult at the end of a hard day. And Lefum Sara Agra, you all being avenged with a gezunti yar.